It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A Montgomery County judge has ruled that Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane will have to stand trial on charges she leaked confidential grand jury information and lied about it to authorities. Montgomery County Assistant District Attorney Kevin Steele made his case in a preliminary hearing in Norristown yesterday.
The judge held all of the charges over for court. So our next proceeding is going to be October 14th for an arraignment, and then a trial will be scheduled after that.
WHYY's Dave Davies was covering the preliminary hearing yesterday and has been following developments in the case. He joins us by phone from Philadelphia. Dave Davies, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be with you, Paul.
If you have a comment or question about the Kathleen Kane case, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Dave, describe, first of all, the atmosphere at this preliminary hearing in Norristown.
It's a little crazy. You know, I think everything about the Kathleen Kane case is a little weird, and this was no different. I mean, the courtroom was overwhelmed with media from across the state. And, of course, Kathleen Kane was there with an entourage that included her twin sister, Ellen Granahan, who is also a member of the attorney general's staff. And so there were, when the twin sister would walk out, the media would swarm her thinking that's the attorney general, and then she would come through. So it was a little odd. You know, preliminary hearings are typically fairly routine affairs in which a criminal case just takes a step forward. The defense doesn't have a lot of access to the prosecution's evidence, and so the prosecution presents a prima facie case that a crime was committed and it should go to trial. And that's pretty much what happened here. But there were some moments where Kane's attorney made some arguments, created some back and forth with the judge, and he raised this prospect of pornographic emails and how they'll relate to this whole thing. So it was a little odd.
Yeah, and apparently that was kind of the surprising moment there in the hearing. Can you go into some detail about what exactly happened as they alluded to this suggestion that these pornographic emails that her office discovered on state computers will help exonerate her?
Right. Well, folks who have followed this will know some of this. It can be a little confusing if you haven't. But, you know, the Attorney General's office uncovered pornographic emails on a lot of state computers about a year and a half ago in an unrelated investigation. And the actual identity of the state officials who were trading these pornographic emails was revealed in some cases, but not all. And after Kane was indicted for essentially using confidential investigative information to embarrass an opponent and then lying about it, after that indictment occurred, her only public statement has been to say she's innocent and that somehow this whole thing is explained by people who traded in these pornographic emails whose identities have not yet been revealed, that that's somehow going to explain the case and somehow help exonerate her. And she didn't really explain the connection. So yesterday, her attorney at one point simply says that the prosecutor who Kane was out to embarrass, a man named Frank Fina, he said, had a collection of thousands of pornographic emails. Now, when he said this, the judge quickly shut that down, did not permit that as a line of questioning, which he had hoped to use. And so it went nowhere. And when I asked him afterward, he wouldn't explain what he meant. He wouldn't even confirm what he had said. It was a little hard to hear, but it's clear that's what he said. And reporters practically begged him to explain what's the connection between the pornography and the case against the attorney general. He said, there is a connection. You'll have to wait for trial to find out.
What, Dave, what are prosecutors saying was Kathleen Kane's motivation for doing what she's charged with, leaking this grand jury information and then lying about it to authorities? Why would she do that?
Well, I think that they have a fair amount of evidence that she was very angry at this former prosecutor, Frank Fina. He had been a leading prosecutor in the attorney general's office before she got there. And there was a Philadelphia Inquirer story in March of 2014, which was embarrassing to Kane. It essentially said that she had failed to follow up on a corruption investigation. And she believed that Frank Fina, this former prosecutor, was responsible for planting that story with the Inquirer. Now, a subsequent grand jury investigation found no evidence that Fina had in fact done that. But it seems clear Kane was angry with him, and there's evidence that she was going to retaliate by embarrassing him, and it was that effort to retaliate in a public relations war that led to this mess. The allegations are that she dug up information about a previous investigation that FINA had been involved in, which never led to charges, and leaked confidential information about that to the Philadelphia Daily News. So they did a story in June of that year, which was somewhat embarrassing to FINA. And the allegation is that she sent that stuff through a political operative to a journalist to embarrass a political rival, and it was secret stuff, clearly in violation of grand jury secrecy rules, and then when asked about it, lied about it. So that's what they're saying happened, is that in pursuit of a public relations war, she abused her office and leaked confidential stuff.
And did this district judge, whose name was Kathleen Kelly Rebar,
right?
Did she say why she declined to throw out any of the criminal charges against Kathleen Kane? And you know, I don't even know if that's part of what you do in a preliminary hearing. It, as you said, it's a pretty matter-of-fact process. But, you know, does the judge, or in this case, did the judge go into, you know, why she's not dropping any of the charges at all?
Well, I guess what you would say is you'd have to make a clear and convincing legal argument that the prosecution didn't have a prima facie case, that those crimes had been committed, and that there's reason to believe that the defendant, in this case the Attorney General, had committed them. And essentially, when the defense tried to make some arguments, for example, they tried to argue that they didn't have some of the exhibits that the prosecution was using in time for the defense to prepare for them. She said, you're not entitled to that at a preliminary hearing. Essentially, what she said is the standard of proof is low. Yes, defense, you may have points to make, but at this stage of the case, it's pretty straightforward, and so she dismissed their arguments.
And, of course, Kathleen Kane's defense team is hoping that the judge would have dropped at least some of those charges. That didn't happen. So now what is her defense team saying about her chances of being acquitted?
Well, they say that they believe she will be acquitted, and they're not very specific on the strategy. I will tell you that listening to it myself, it seems to me that there's pretty strong evidence that Kane had a motive to leak this material, and it is very clear that a reporter from the Daily News got a packet from a political operative, and he got it from a top official in the Attorney General's office. There's no doubt about that. But when you get down to what Kane's role was, it's not exactly airtight. It's not clear who prepared this packet of materials, which went to the operative, which went to the Daily News. Kane says she didn't. It's not clear who did. So I think there's probably room for stirring up some reasonable doubt. And the perjury charges against her are examples where she went to the grand jury, and there's evidence that she may have misrepresented what she knew about certain documents or when she read the newspaper article. It's not as clear that she lied about the details of leaking the material. So I think they will raise some questions about whether the evidence is really there beyond a reasonable doubt that she was the one who directed this. And then they'll probably raise some other arguments that involve specific charges.
So with all of this swirling around her, Dave Davies, what are you hearing from people in general about her ability to perform her duties as Attorney General while she's trying to fight these charges? There's that recent Quinnipiac poll that with over half the respondents saying they disapprove of her performance. I believe the figure was 54% disapprove of the job she's done as Attorney General, or is doing as AG. And then there are the 49%, nearly half of the respondents, who say she should resign.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, like a lot of state agencies, much of what they do happens regardless of who's at the top. So, I mean, there will be ongoing investigations and, you know, advisories to the public about insurance scams and all the things that a law enforcement agency of that kind will do. And that will continue to happen. But there's just no doubt that politically she's gone from damaged to toxic to now radioactive. I mean, it's hard to conceive of her waging a credible campaign for her reelection next year, though she says she intends to do that.
WHYY's Dave Davies, who covered yesterday's preliminary hearing involving the charges facing Pennsylvania Attorney General Kathleen Kane. Dave Davies, pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Paul.
Coming up, what Chatham University is doing to celebrate the 95th anniversary of the day women received the right to vote. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.